All right, everybody, I want to candidly break down how idiotic this administration is. No punches pulled whatsoever. On screen now, you see the United States Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. You've likely seen this man before, as he is one of the principal economic advisors to the president. He helps give the president feedback on economic policy, and he leads the Treasury Department. Scott Bessent gave a press conference today because, you know, the economy's in the gutter. They need to spin, and Caroline Leavitt is currently pregnant, or she's about to have her baby, or maybe she might have had the baby. I don't know yet. But Scott Bessent is currently giving this presser, and Lord have mercy, it perfectly encapsulates why we are in such an economic catastrophe at this very moment. The president of the United States does not have any reality tests around him, no walls to push back and tell him when tariff ideas are bad, when Federal Reserve bullying is bad, when inflation is bad. He's sitting there with no actual gauge on reality. He's not the one that's experiencing healthcare costs increasing, grocery costs increasing, gas prices increasing due to the failing Iran war that is now on month three when they said it would be 4 weeks long. So Scott Bessent comes out and he's actually asked about the Iran deal. He's asked about a lot of this. And then he ends up saying at the very end, no more questions. He's so overwhelmed with the catastrophe that he says, no more questions. So we're going to break all of this down. If you appreciate the Adam Mockler feed, make sure you drop a like. Let me just start with this photo that's going quite viral. This is Scott Bessent holding up a proposition for a $250 Trump bill. Now, there is a law that says living presidents and sitting presidents cannot be on currency in this manner. So they're trying to change the law for Donald Trump. This is what This is what our lawmakers are focusing on the Republican side. Not reining in his war powers or his tariff powers, not helping the economy, but creating a $250 Trump bill and changing the law so they can do so. Even Peter Ducey from Fox News asks about this. It's disgusting.
How long until we see your signature next to President Trump's face on a $250 bill?
Well, as Treasury Secretary, I have two mandates for U.S. currency. At present, no living person can be on U.S. currency, and the currency must say, in God we trust. So right now, there is proposed legislation that in front of the House, in front of the Senate, to change the first requirement so that a living person, Donald J. Trump, could be on the $250 bill. So it's all in the hands of up on Capitol Hill.
Look at our politicians. Look at United States politicians. We are plagued with problems right now regarding healthcare prices, the prices of insulin in almost all states. We are plagued with a war that we can't rein in right now. There are about 100 better things that I could think of Congress doing. Why don't we ban Congress's ability to trade stocks? Why don't we ban the president's ability to trade stocks? Why don't we add guardrails onto our government or to money in politics? Nope. Nope, nope, that would actually change things for once. Let's just add Donald Trump's face to a $250 bill. Caitlin Collins of CNN then begins to press Scott Bessent even further on this exact point and the economic point of it all. Very well done. Watch.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. I have two questions for you, but just to follow what you said about the
$250. Well, you didn't call me doctor, so I only get one.
Well, I'll shoot for two. You said that it's up to Congress. The president's face is on a $250 bill, but it is actually the Washington Post that's reporting two political appointees from the Treasury Department who have asked agencies to be ready to do that. Do you think politically it's a good idea to put his face on a $250 bill when people are struggling to afford gas and groceries?
You know, I don't really understand this Washington Post article. That who hears from the Post? Yep. Terribly written, terribly edited. Because basically what it says is that Treasury is following the law and that we've created the bill and that it's up to Congress, but that we follow the bill and it's up to I didn't really understand what the story was.
So, anyway. Involved in that, two of your political appointees?
Yeah, of course, but we prepare for everything if it gets passed. Just like we were ready 6 months in advance for the one big beautiful bill for tax guidance.
Caitlin is making a really good point here. They're already allocating resources and personnel towards getting ready the $250 bill before Congress has even passed this law. So that shows where their priorities lie. Donald Trump is allocating resources towards the UFC building, the ballroom, the pool, the reflecting pool, all of his side personal projects, like putting his name or his face on the currency, his name on the buildings, and yet people are struggling. We actually got some bad economic data earlier today that we're going to dig into later in the video. We're going to go deep into some policy and some econ later in the video, just talking about the data that we got today about PCE inflation, and then Bessent gets pressed on it. But to continue, Caitlin Collins keeps pushing.
So we have to prepare in advance. You can't draw something up the day before.
Politically, do you think it's a good idea, though, when people are struggling to afford gas and groceries?
Look, I think it has. I think that it's bifurcated. That do you think we should have a 250th anniversary, the celebration?
Well, that's happening anyway. But
Caitlin, it's not happening anyway. It's happening because it's being funded by private citizens, by the federal government, by state governments, by municipal governments to celebrate our country. And I don't think that there's anything untoward about having the President of the United States, the person who was President of the United States, on the 250th anniversary bill.
You don't think there's anything untoward about it? It's illegal. There's nothing untoward about it. You guys are changing the laws to do it at a time when Trump is enriching himself at the expense of the American people. It's getting to a point where Trump's enrichment is like zero sum, meaning every single dollar that he gains in the stock market via crypto, via corrupt deals, is a dollar that is taken directly out of the pocket of the American people. It's like a zero sum corruption scheme that is screwing over all Americans so Trump can make 3,000 trades in the course of 6 months, make $200 million off of that, $3 billion, $4 billion off of cryptocurrency, and then cut deals with countries and give them chips if they invest in his personal companies. It's absurd. I might make a video all about Trump's corruption later today. Subscribe if you want to see that. But to continue, Scott Bessent then just tells a flat-out lie. Like, this is just such an offensive lie to tell. He says President Trump is the only one that's been able to get Iran to come to the table and talk about their nuclear program. Dog. The entire reason we're in this mess is because Donald Trump scrapped the JCPOA that Obama created. We cannot let them rewrite reality like this. It's the most infuriating part.
Enriched uranium, and that they can't have a nuclear program. And to be clear here, that this administration, President Trump, has done something that no other administration is able to do. We have gotten the Iranians to talk about their nuclear program and to perhaps commit to not having one.
That
has never happened before.
That literally is exactly what happened 10 years ago, almost to the date. Scott Bessent then begins to get pressed on the PCE inflation numbers that came out today that were rather brutal. Now, PCE stands for personal consumption expenditures, and it's the government's favorite, most broad measurement of how much prices are rising across the economy. It's not just like one specific sector or one specific input. It's a giant tracker for what Americans are paying for everyday life. So groceries, rent, gas, healthcare, flights, all of it combined into one tracker. And people care about this because the Federal Reserve uses this number when deciding interest rates and the health of the economy. So earlier today, Heather Long says, according to her, just in, PCE inflation in the United States jumped to 3.8% in April, the highest in 3 years since May of 2023, like after COVID. Core PCE rose to 3.3%, the highest since fall of 2023. This is where we're kind of getting into some numbers. We're getting a little bit wonky here, but it's necessary. The monthly gains were a tad smaller than expected, but that's little comfort on Main Street, where people are facing the highest inflation in 3 years and have their wage gains wiped out by said inflation. Then she shows, Heather Long says, this is stunning. Personal savings rate, April of 2025, which is 1 year ago, was 5.5%. The personal savings rate in April of 2026 is 2.6%. That is a stunning, sharp plunge in the amount of savings Americans have. It underscores how squeezed Americans are right now with higher prices and incomes not keeping up with those higher prices. So people's savings are being cooked. At the same time, when inflation continues to rise, it's all correlated to really tighten Americans. Heather then says, yikes. You can see how Americans are getting squeezed financially right now. Personal incomes in the U.S. fell in April after adjusting for taxes. The savings rate fell to 2.6% in April. So incomes, savings are falling while inflation is rising. All right, back to Scott Bessent. How is he answering for this?
Yep. There's new government data that shows that Americans are now saving a smaller share of their incomes than at any time over the past 4 years. Are you seeing signs that American households are dipping into their savings to pay for the higher costs of things like gas and groceries? And does data like that concern you right now?
Well, so a lower academic literature would tell you a lower savings rate can mean one of two things. The doomer view that you took, or that people have more confidence, or it could be, you know, something else. Because, you know, for instance, stock market gains or 401k gains might not show up in savings, so they're looking at that, think that they can draw down their household savings.
This is the most out-of-touch thing I have ever heard. Everything is up right now in price. Healthcare is skyrocketing, flights are skyrocketing, groceries, rent, gas, housing, all of it is skyrocketing. And Scott Bessent thinks people have extra funds to put in the stock market, and the stock market gains is actually why they have no savings. No, it's because people's savings are being eaten by the inflation caused by this war. To continue, Scott Bessent then begins to have to answer questions about Iran, and it does not go well for him. It goes even worse for him. He gets asked about Donald Trump saying yesterday that we might have to strike Oman, that Oman might have to watch out. People were like, wait, why is he threatening one of our allies? It's actually helping mediate negotiations. Why are we threatening everybody now? Scott Bessent gets asked about this.
President Trump said, Oman will behave just like everybody else, or we will have to blow them up. Are you guys back there in the West Wing making plans for a new war with Oman?
Again, I think the president wanted to punctuate freedom of navigation in the Strait. I had a call with the Omani ambassador this morning, and he assured me that there were no plans for tolling the Strait. As he said, our countries have had 200 years of good relations. He wants to have another 200 more. And, you know, I told him that this was a non-starter, and he did not want to risk either the Oman.
Yeah, all of the countries that I want to have good relations with, I threatened to bomb rather than just calling them. Why would you publicly threaten to bomb Oman and then admit that we've had 200 years of good relations? You can just send a phone call to countries like Oman in the same way that we could have called South Korea, who we're allies with, but instead Trump put insane tariffs on them and threatened them to hell, even though we didn't really have any tariffs in the first place on them. So this is just deranged BS. Scott Bessent is running cover for Donald Trump as Trump threatens war with Oman because Trump could not get Iran to open the strait by threatening to destroy their civilization. What part of The Art of War by Sun Tzu says, when you're humiliated on the global stage, just continue to threaten to blow shit up and maybe it'll go your way? Because it hasn't worked for Trump thus far.
Secretary, is it in the U.S. interest to waive some sanctions on Iran or to unfreeze some of their assets before Iran has made concrete promises about getting rid of their nuclear program?
I'm not going to preview the deal, but I would think that the things would go very slowly in terms of that. So, you know, we'll see.
Just to follow up on that, because it's our understanding that the U.S. has... U.S. has committed to discussing the matter of sanctions relief during this negotiation period. So just to be clear, is sanctions relief for Iran on the table?
It is a multifaceted agreement, and nothing is going to be on the table until we see the Strait of Hormuz open and the Iranians agree that they have to turn over the highly enriched uranium, and that they can't have a nuclear program. And
this is painful to listen to.
And to be clear,
you don't know the reality of the situation. The memorandum of understanding that got updated today essentially has the United States removing our forces, which is good. It's good to tone down the war. But then the Strait opens, which is also good. And then we begin the nuclear negotiations for a 60-day ceasefire. The problem with this is, the main problem, I mean, it's a good thing, but the main problem is, this is exactly where we were 3 months ago. On February 27th, the day before we launched the war, the Strait was open, we were negotiating on nukes, and we were pushing forward and trying to create this type of deal. Instead, we got a war. and then we're going back to square one. It's disgusting. Let's watch Scott Bessent shut down the final question after getting pressed by reporter after reporter after reporter.
Secretary, about the $1.8 billion fund, is it accurate that the General Counsel of the Treasury Department resigned over that?
I will not be taking any other questions, I will not be taking any other questions.
But you know, Wall Street
don't have. Wow, the real show of masculinity from the Trump banner. I will not be taking any other questions, says Scott Bessent. I'm going to leave it there. If you appreciate these videos, drop a blue heart in the comment section below, and peace out.